Okay, this is one of the special episodes of the Open Science Radio. We're sitting in Cologne at the Gezi, and next to me is sitting Felix Schönbrot. Hi, Felix.
Hello.
You just gave an ignition talk on the Barcamp Science 2.0. But before we come to the topic and your talk, maybe you can just say a few words for our listeners about who you are.
All right, so I'm a psychologist at LMU Munich. I'm working there in the emotion and motivation psychology and statistics. And yeah, well, I believe in open science. I think that's the right way to go. We have seen in psychology a huge replication crisis. So we had huge replication projects where we try to replicate existing findings, existing papers. And the ratio of replicated studies was quite low. And this sparked a lot of discussion in psychology and already initiated some movements to move towards open science, at least in a small group of psychologists.
Yeah. I guess one of the points that was really interesting in your career from our outside view was actually the move of the LMU and you as part of this of the driving force to publish a job advert for professorship recognizing officially open science. What was the feedback that you got from specifically other universities?
That's interesting. I actually do not know a lot of feedback from other universities. I'm sure a lot of them will have recognized it, but they hold themselves back. I think they just want to wait. What happens? Is this just a one-shot initiative? So maybe some of them think, oh, this will not happen again. That's just some sort of, how should I say it, a one-day fly. But actually, there will be a second advertisement from the LMU where we will add exactly the statement a second time. So it's not a one-day thing. So we hope it has some persistence.
Yeah.
How hard was it for you to establish this? I mean, I can imagine, I mean, coming also from an academic background, that putting this phrase, these two lines in a way, into such a job advert, I guess this was tough, right?
Right, so we have established this open science committee at our department, and this was one of the first suggestions from this committee to increase the transparency at our department. It was tough, but I think we had two driving forces which helped to get it through. The one thing was this huge replication project in psychology, and it was published in Science last year. And this really had a lasting impression, and many people thought, okay, we have to do something. So this created some sort of atmosphere of we have to change something. I think that helped. Another point was that we had a consistent minority in the department, so we were about 4 to 5 people who said open science is the way to go, and we consistently suggested this, and we pushed it. And I think a third really important point was that our director of the department, Markus Bühner, he really supported the initiative. So the director said, okay, let's do it this way. And I think these combined forces managed to get it into the advertisement.
Yeah. Absolutely. And I think establishing such a committee, you suggested this also in your talk, might be really a powerful tool to put these kind of things into practice. How percentage-wise, how many people of, let's say, of the institute are supporting you? Or as you said, you're a kind of minority there. Are you these 5 people? Are you more? Or how is your standing inside of this community in university or in an institute?
Yeah. So we have no official numbers of supporters. But starting with this core group of around 5 people, I think, well, at least 1/3 of the department really supports us, 1/3 to a half. Mainly the young PhD students, I think really most of them love the idea of open science. They have some fears, like, will I publish enough? Will I get enough papers to get tenure and so on? So they have some practical questions, how to put it into practice and will this hurt my career? But beyond this, they really support the issue. On the higher levels of professors, I would say, well, One third really supports it actively. One third is quite neutral, or they're just waiting. Okay, let's see what happens. And maybe, I don't know, one third is more skeptical.
Yeah, but it was very absolutely an important step. I mean, it was funny to see my own quote there on the slides. But yeah, I think it's really a game changer, because it's kind of, this can actually start this whole thing. Because as you said, people are afraid of getting tenured, or let's say in general about their career. But if they see such a thing in an advertisement, I mean, this is really, really great. I guess you have enough to struggle in your own department, but do you see anybody at the university from different departments taking the idea maybe and or going there? I guess it's, as I said, it's tough enough to do this in your own field, but are you knocking at other doors and say, hey, well, have a look at this and maybe you would like to do this yourself?
Yeah. So we plan, well, this is the first official announcement now. we'd like to have such initiative on the university level of the LMU. So I was looking at the web pages if I see any other departments or persons who like open science at the LMU. I didn't find too many, but maybe they just don't show up on the internet presence. So maybe, I guess they are. There must be some people, but we have to find them and connect each other. So the plan is to make a university-wide initiative. But, well, it's the first baby steps, yeah, and sure. We will see maybe in the next month if we can get something.
Yeah. And maybe you can collect your ideas or things that were successful somewhere. Maybe you've done this already. I've not checked this. But this would be actually very helpful for other people, maybe inspired by your talk by this now, to start such a committee themselves in order to see, okay, what do you need to do in order to do this? And I guess a committee, I mean, it's something you don't have to apply for. Basically, we want to have a committee, but you can just do it, right?
Yeah, right. Our committee has a project space on Open Science Framework, so we collect a lot of documents there. And other people can use it. Within the discipline of psychology, we just send an email around the German-wide email list that we have this committee and that we want to connect to other committees. And we know of at least two other universities which have such an open science committee at Hagen, at the Fernuni Hagen. And at the University Koblenz-Landau, both in psychology, they have these committees. And we want to make a network of these committees, at the moment only in psychology in Germany. But yeah, we hope to connect to other departments, other disciplines.
Yeah, psychology seems to be, apart from biology, as one of the drivers of this open science topic. And you had some a really interesting example of it in your talk, talking about the badges, the mm-hmm. open badges. And my first and initial thought was, well, this is badgification and gamification pushed into science. But you seem to be really sure that this is a very serious approach to actually foster open science. Could you explain how that works and what the motivation behind it might be?
Right. So when you said gamification, it sounded like it's a bad thing. So I think it could be a good thing. I think humans love these badges. And when you have these fitness trackers and so on, if you get badges and points, you're just motivated to increase your points. So at the moment, we're hunting for impact points. Maybe we should hunt for open science points. But beyond that, we have some empirical evidence that it just works. So in Psychological Science, that's one of our top journals in the field, they introduced these open science badges. They have three of them. It's the open data badge. You get it if you provide your data. It's the open material badge. If you provide all the material, the procedures that you need to replicate your study, then you get this badge. And the third one is the pre-registered badge. If you pre-register your hypothesis and your analysis before you do the actual study. And they introduced these badges 1.5 years ago. And the amount of open data provided with each article, it raised from 0% to about 40% within 1.5 years. Mm. I think that's a huge, huge gain.
Yeah, that's amazing, because we once had a discussion about this. It was we were rather skeptical, but I mean this data really shows it works, and done in psychology by psychologists. I guess this is a good source actually to refer to if someone needs some points.
In our introductory episode, we already talked a bit about your talk, and I found that the title was really well chosen, because it's exactly the simple steps that lower the barrier to foster more participation in this kind of movement.
Yep.
And you had also, what I really liked about it was you had a 3-point plan, what you can do today, the week and the month.
Yeah.
And if you would need to sum up, what would you recommend people if they want to start doing their science openly, where should they start?
Okay, if you want to start today, I would suggest you get a Twitter account and you follow some open science people on Twitter. So it's, this doesn't change your scientific practice, but you get a lot of information and you get practical tips, you get the right mindset, you realize why it's important. So it's just the right information. So that's a very low-level step because it costs you nothing. Well, you need some time to read all these tweets, okay? But that is fun. Another way to start today is the Peer Reviewers Openness Initiative. I guess you can provide the link along with the podcast.
Yeah, I guess we have also talked about this.
We covered this in previous...
You did already. Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. So it's very simple. You say, as a reviewer... we invest a lot of hours reviewing other papers, and signatories of this initiative, they just say, we think openness should be part of the paper. We cannot review a paper if we do not see the data, if we do not know what they actually did in their research. And without openness, we cannot give a good review. And so we only review papers that are open.
Yeah.
So that's also a very easy step, which doesn't cost you a lot. You just reject the papers which are not open and you give a good review, a constructive review for these papers which are open. Well, where can you start? I would say it's important to start with just small steps. So many people are overwhelmed. So I give a lot of open science talks and then the people think, oh, it's technically so difficult. I have to, open data. What about anonymity of my participants? What about a copyright law? All these legal issues are really difficult. And, better I don't touch these things. And I think it's important, just do a small step. Like, try to make open data for your next paper. And it doesn't have to be perfect. My first pre-registration was really, I don't know, not bad, but it wasn't really good. And you learn with every step. And now I did, I think, 4 or 5 pre-registrations, and they are getting better. And now I would say, okay, well, that's a quite good pre-registration, and that's fine. So it doesn't have to be perfect from the beginning. And I would say bad open data is better than no open data, and you will learn with each step.
Okay, I think your slides will be openly available.
Yes, of course.
After today, so we'll link that probably later, as soon as we have them. And thanks for the moment. The next session is about to start, and we hope we can invite you to the Open Science Radio one more to speak.
Right, would be a pleasure.
Dive deeper into our questions that we've put aside here. So, I think this was really nice and a really, really inspiring talk, and I'm pretty sure many people. Take these ideas now and go home and try to put the stuff into practice, right?
Yeah, all right. Great.
Felix, thank you.
Okay, thank you.